Oblivious, we set about our task. We did improvisation performances wherever we could, including the Army base's coffee houses. Yep, they had coffee houses at Fort Carson, and speakers such as Jane Fonda. I also wrote a children's play that we performed around the city, and we did a production of John Guare's House of Blue Leaves. The irony, of course, is that we couldn't do any of these shows in our own theater because we didn't have the proper zoning permits. The gentleman who built the theater was given dispensation to use the space, as he was a native son. But we were outsiders, interlopers. We might as well have been Yankees in the South after the Civil War. We presented a play that summer in the park at the center of town, called Rejoice, a Simple Song. The park, it turns out, was avoided by most of the community. It was where the local drug addicts hung out. This didn't faze us. We had no choice. We had no theater. We were actually living in our theater at that point. So we put on shows in the park for smallish audiences. It was a very sophomoric piece of work on my part, but it had some wonderful music and dance and a wonderful set. It wasn't an overwhelming success, except that we had done it, and that was an accomplishment in and of itself. We took it to Fort Carson, Colorado College, and the prison in Canyon City. If you ever want to know what it's like to do drugs, just present a play, any play, at a prison, and make damn sure there are women in the cast. The response to the play had absolutely nothing to do with the words that were uttered or the actions displayed. The prisoners were seeing breasts, and breasts informed their interpretation of what they were watching. Hell, they could have been looking at Lady Macbeth crawling around on the floor screaming, "Out, out, damn spot!" And all they would have thought was, "She sucks as a housekeeper, but look at those tits! Get over here and clean me, lady. I'm dirty." All of the productions helped us get by. And we were doing what we had come there to do, whether anyone was paying attention to us or not. As it turned out, one man in particular was paying attention, the vice principal of the local high school and a former Marine. He liked our vision, and we established ourselves as the school's theater company in residence. We desperately needed a base where our actors could spend time practicing their craft. It was obvious, after our summer show, that we needed time to grow, and that we weren't going to be able to sell a lot of theater out there. So we performed in any classroom that would have us, from algebra to history. We would do scenes from plays that the students were reading, and we even directed a student production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. We also held discussions and led theater games at the prison, which is like working at an insane asylum. Everyone is paranoid, and everyone has an agenda. Spending time with the inmates was always edgy, and a little weird, yet somehow fulfilling. I know for a fact that it was fulfilling for them, because I was the only guy from our group that came to the prison. The rest were women. This no doubt helped, because the guys would pay attention. They really paid attention. They would even listen to me. And I didn't have tits.